Anyway, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're starting a new series today that I've called The Holy Spirit and Your Purpose. The Holy Spirit and Your Purpose. So that's what we're going to be looking at for the rest of this month. Now, one of the reasons why we're looking at this series, I believe that there's so many things that we need to relax and understand so that our lives as Christians can be, let me not say easier, but we can get more help from God and we won't have to expend so much energy trying to make things happen in our lives by ourselves. I'll explain what I mean by that in a moment. Now, the other thing as well is, oftentimes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, I don't know about you guys, but I think the first thing that flashes to my mind is when I switch on YouTube and they're like, you have people falling down. It's like, yeah, then you know that the Holy Spirit is there. Or you see people prophesying and all those things. And I love all those things. However, if you ask me, in the life of an individual believer, that is, if you ask me, just 10%. The other 90% that the Holy Spirit does in our lives are the normal everyday life things that might not seem so spectacular. And those are the things that really matter to the life of an individual or a believer. So we want to look at the Holy Spirit from another perspective this month. We want to look at the Holy Spirit from the perspective of you as an individual, how he helps you or how he tries to help you on a daily basis. We'll look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, when I talk about the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, my mind also, I don't know, there's this thing about YouTube, I don't know, I just have YouTube on sometimes when I'm working and like, they give me these repeat videos. When we talk about the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, again, what comes to my mind in the first instance is a big stadium and you have like this evangelist man of God and there are thousands of people there and, you know, people are being healed and I love that. But what that does to us sometimes is it makes it seem as if the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for maybe ministers, people who have spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying. And man, it just, if God like just uses you in that bit of it, it might be by mistake. And we think it's for a group of people and we're not amongst that group. So what we want to do this month is to dispel that the Holy Spirit will walk with you and in you, whether you're 9 years old, 10 years old. It just looked like, hang on, how did you know I was 9 years old, Pastor? Your mom told me. It's not a word of knowledge. So what I'm just saying is, God has sent the Holy Spirit to help us in our everyday lives. So this morning, I'm just going to start us off with an introduction, and we'll carry on as the weeks go by. So this morning, I'm going to make three main points. Then after that, we will pray. So the first point I want to make is from, John chapter 14 and verse 18. Well, before we go there, the first point is this. When Jesus was about to leave his disciples, he had been with them for about 3 years. He had been with them every day. They had seen him perform miracles. I mean, for those who got red letters in the post, he had paid their tax. So they had seen Jesus do so many things and they were excited. Now Jesus begins to tell them, I am going away. Then they begin to panic. And I can imagine why they were panicking. They were just thinking, my goodness, who is going to help us? When we have difficult questions, who's going to answer those difficult questions for us? When we need to pay our tax and we don't have money and we have absolutely no idea what to do, who is going to provide? So they were just in disarray. And the thing as well was that Jesus had told them that they will do greater things than he did. So they were wondering, what do you mean we'll do greater things? I mean, we can hardly even look at ourselves. How do we go about this? So what was paramount on their mind, I believe, and what might be paramount on our minds at the moment is, how do I live this life as a believer? What are the benefits? What makes me different from the gentleman or the lady down the road that's not a believer? Our lives are almost identical. We struggle the same way. We have the same fears. We get the same red letters. We react the same way. So what's the difference? How can I fulfill the purpose that God has called me to? Do I even have a purpose? What does that mean? That sounds really vague. God's purpose for my life. What does that mean in real life? These were the questions that these guys had. And I believe some of the questions that we have as well. But the first point I want to make is this. Jesus understood that there was no way they were going to be able to survive this life on their own. On their own, successfully as disciples of Christ. So the first thing Jesus tells them is this. Well, amongst the main thing he tells them is this. I'm paraphrasing now. You guys have a purpose. You are going to spread the gospel. You are going to extend the kingdom of God on the earth. And they were looking at themselves, 12 guys. I mean, it didn't really make sense to them. But Jesus knew that it wouldn't make sense to them. And he knew that there was no way that they could do it on their own or in their own strength. So the first thing he tells them is this, that he will send someone to help them. So that's the first point. If you look at John chapter 14, verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So he said, look, guys, I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say guys. He said, look, guys, I understand your concerns, and I'm not just going to leave you to hack it out by yourself. He said, I'll come to you. If you now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, it says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So this 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, begins to tell us that there's so many things that God has in stock for you as an individual, not just us. When I say us as a church, or us as a body of believers, yes, he has plans for us at that level, but he's talking about you as an individual. And he begins to say here that no ear has heard and no eye has seen what God has in stock for you. However, the only way you're going to experience those things is by the Holy Spirit revealing those things to you. And I'm going to be quite I'm saying things like, the Holy Spirit reveals to you, the Holy Spirit searches deep things. And it sounds sometimes a bit vague. I don't know about you, but when I read things like that, it's like, reveals. What does that mean in real life? How does he, I've read the scripture, but does the Holy Spirit just knock on my door and say, all right, I'm here to reveal? I mean, what does that mean in real life, Pastor B? We'll look at that. Then the other thing Jesus tells them as well is in John chapter 16, verse 13. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. So the first point we see here is this. Jesus knows that there is no way we can survive this world properly in the Christian faith without the help of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit actually helps us. We might not be conscious of it. He always does. But what we want to do this month is to bring us to the place where we become conscious of the workings of the Holy Spirit in a practical, day-to-day, everyday life without making it sound spooky. And when I say spooky, I use that word very carefully because there are times that it's like we say, oh, the Holy Spirit is here, so, you know, let's. And I love all that, but when I wake up in the morning sometimes and I'm thinking, look, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to pay for that bill that I got yesterday? It's not a time for spookiness. It's a time that I need to understand exactly how that's going to happen. And the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit actually helps us. I remember one, there was a job that I got. I think I gave this example a while ago. This was about, I don't know, about 7 years ago. And I got this job. And during the interview for this job, it was for, it was meant to be for a year and a half. They asked me all sorts of questions. Can you do this? Can you, you know, I was like, I almost said I can have that for breakfast. I was like, I can do it. I could, you know, I can do all these things. I could do most of them actually, but some of them I've never done before. So I started the job and they gave me a team of four people, four lads to work with me. These guys had so much confidence in me. It was like, man, we've got this guy as a technical guy. He can solve any problem, we're good. Then they go like, okay, when are you gonna get this bit working? I said, it'll take me a week. All right. My boss comes a week later. Oh, how are you doing? I'm like, just some challenges here. Give me another week. 1 week rolled into another week, to another week. Then I think after about 6 weeks, my boss didn't even bother coming. I think he was emails he was sending, as in, probably he didn't want to embarrass me. And my team members were looking at me and they would come and they would say, okay, this thing isn't working. What do we do? I'm like, guys, I'm working on it. And I think what was a bit troubling to them was the fact that they knew that if we didn't get that thing working soon, it would be like a handshake at the door and out you go. And I was just thinking that, man, I have a mortgage to pay my kids. I need to pay their school fees. I need to buy all these things. This is not the time I want to be looking for another job. So I broke out in a cold sweat. After about 6 weeks, I just said, this thing just isn't working. What do I do? What do I do? And I remember John chapter 16. No, John chapter 14, where it says, the Holy Spirit will lead you into, he will teach you all things, lead you into all truth. So I said, hang on, let me test this thing. Let me test this thing to see if it works. Do you know what I did? And I went into the toilet, shut the door behind me, and I knelt down. I said, God, if I don't get this thing today, I'm finished. That's what I said in the toilet, kneeling down. I shut the door behind me, by the way. I said, if I don't get this thing now, I'm finished. And the guys that work for me, they are finished as well. You said, Holy Spirit will remind us of all this thing. God, tell me the answer of this thing. And as I was speaking, a thought just dropped into my mind. I said, hang on, where did that thought come from? And the thought was, do this, do this, do this, and it will work. And I was like, this is weird. Anyway, got off from the toilet. I flushed, then washed my hands. So don't say, hang on, this guy came out, he didn't wash his hands. And I went to my desk, pop, pop, pop. I put the thing in, put the thing, and I pressed enter, and it worked. I said, incredible. I was shocked. And in my mind, like, so Holy Spirit teaches you computer stuff, programming language. Ha, I got that. I said to my four guys, it's worked. They said, how did you get it to work? I just said, man, you guys don't understand Holy Spirit. And I was like, yeah, it's not a problem at all. Not, you know, my boss was ecstatic. So I now realize that, is this how this thing works? So anytime I get stuck, I'll say, guys, don't worry. Don't worry. Just go to bed. So what am I saying here? That was not the time to ring. That was not the time for me to switch on YouTube. I'm saying, I needed the answer on the spot. Do you get what I mean? I remember, I think just about 4 weeks ago as well, and I woke up and I had some things that I had to sort out. I was like, look, I'm just tired. I need to do this. How am I going to do this? And I was just reflecting in the morning. And a thought came to me. And I was like, okay, do X, Y, and Z, and this will happen, and that will happen. And I understood what I needed to do, and that's what I did. And talking about even the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I remember we were in church one day as well. I'm just giving us these examples so that we realize that, look, when Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth and that he was going to send him to help us, he is around to help us with every single thing if we will let him. That's the question, if we will let him. I remember we're in church like this one day, talking about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And we're praying, I was like, after, preaching, we're praying and all that. And suddenly, I don't know if we're looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit then. In my mind, I just saw someone in the congregation who had like a toothache, but I didn't see the person's face. And at that time, I began to realize how that gift works. And I said, okay, if you're here, you have like a toothache, God touch you in Jesus' name. And we prayed. And that was the end of the matter. And my daughter, who sat here, just came to me. She came to me. Like that. I think she went to her mom first. Then she's like, Dad, was that? It was me. I had a toothache. And I was like, man, that is so exciting. Do you understand what I mean? So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying this morning that God wants to help you and I on a daily basis. And he's not far. And it doesn't have to be spectacular all the time. Do you understand? I mean, there was one time I was so down, I was so low. So many things were happening in my life at that point. And I was like, I just want to lie in bed. I don't want to go anywhere. And in my whole life, that kind of thing has never happened to me before. And it was as if the Holy Spirit came and sat down beside me on my bed and put his arm around me like this. And all the heaviness and the sadness that I was feeling disappeared. So the Bible says he's also our comforter. Do you understand? So the first point I'm making, I'll make two more points, then we will pray, is that God knows that you and I need help in this world. He knows that there is no way we can fulfill our purpose or even live our daily lives fully without the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he told his disciples. That's what he's telling us now as well. So point number two. Remember that this month, the series that we're looking at is the Holy Spirit and your purpose. So when I say your purpose, again, it sounds like, oh man, purpose. This sounds like so technical. What does that mean, man? Isn't that for folks in MOD that have like strategy or something? This purpose thing is too complicated. Well, when I say purpose, it means just living the life that God has planned for you. It's as simple as that. Living the life that God has planned for you. That's all that means. So the second point I want to make is this. Every single one of us is important to God. Now, why am I making this second point? And why is this point so important? It is important because if you don't think that you are worth much to God, then you probably wouldn't think that God is interested in you as an individual. It's like, well, whatever. God doesn't have time for me. Maybe God has time for people who are doing X, Y, and Z. Maybe people who are on the mission field somewhere, who are preaching the gospel every day. For me, I just turn up in church once in a while and I say amen. But the truth of the matter is this. We need to distinguish what we do for God and who we are to God. And why is this so important? There was an analogy I gave someone, I think yesterday or the day before, with regards to God. Now, my daughter is here. I'm always using her as an example because she's here every Sunday with me, rain or shine. Even when she's tired, it's like, dear, who's going to play keyboard, man? You need to come with me. Don't worry. So I owe you loads of ice cream for the future. And the analogy I gave was this. Very simple analogy. Now, there are times that my daughter will be like, oh, Dad, would you like breakfast? I'm like, what are you making? She'll be like, what do you want? I'm like, can I have scrambled eggs, baked beans, and what's that thing that you toast, that sweet thing? And she does all these things, and then she brings it to me. I'm like, oh, my dear, that is good, that is good. And I appreciate that. Now, if she now bases her relationship with me on the fact that, look, today I haven't done breakfast for Dad, or maybe Dad asked me for breakfast and I said, Dad, I'm busy, I'm doing my hair at the moment, you know, and I haven't done breakfast for Dad in, you did it last week, so I haven't done breakfast for Dad in a while, or maybe she does a number of things that I'm not happy with. I'm like, why did you do this? I'm like, well, blah, blah, blah. And she now says, oh, my dad, I'm not really worth anything in the sight of my dad. I don't think my dad really, I don't even think my dad would really like me anymore. I haven't done all these things that he said I should do. That just doesn't make sense, because whatever it is she does or doesn't do, she's my daughter. You understand? Obviously, I would want her to do good, but if she doesn't for any reason, or maybe she's tired or she neglects to do that, it doesn't change the way I feel about her. It doesn't change the fact that she's my daughter. It doesn't change the fact that, do you understand what I mean? So why am I making this point? I'm making this point because she has value in my eyes, not because of the things that she does, but because she's my daughter. Now, I know that, but if she doesn't know that and she's basing her relationship on what she does or what she doesn't do, the tendency is that she might think, well, I don't really value her. Do you understand? So the second point I'm making this morning is this. God values you. And I don't want to sound like a motivational speaker that goes, you're great in the sight of God. God values you. You're good. No, I'm not saying any of that. Psalm 139 and verse 14, looking at this second point that God values you. It says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So the psalmist is saying that he knows that in the sight of God, he's valued. He has been wonderfully made. This is really important because your view of how God views you will go a long way. Do you understand? So God values us greatly. Then the last point I'm going to make today, which is the third point, we're looking at purpose and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, one of my favorite verses. And Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So God begins to say something, and this is my third and final point. My third and final point is that God has a plan for you. But he just doesn't say, okay, Pastor B, I've got a plan for you, just make a move on it. He goes ahead to describe what this plan is about. No, not what this plan is about, the characteristics of this plan. So that we have, so that we'll be absolutely clear with regards to God's plan for us. Then he begins to define the characteristics of these plans that he has for us. It says, plans to prosper you. That means to help you in whatever you do so that you're successful in what you do. He now goes on to say, and not to harm you. Now, when I was reading this verse, I was like, why would God say not to harm you? I mean, that's a bit, if you ask me, that's a bit out of place in that sentence. And I realized that in God's plan for us, he wants us to realize that whatever bad thing happens to us or whatever challenges that we face, God is not the author of it. Some people will be like, God is punishing me for what I did in the past. God is not the one that is punishing you for what you did in the past. You might be facing the consequences in some instances, but not all. But the truth of the matter is that life happens. But God is like, when life happens to you, don't ever think that I am the one that is punishing you. There's so many things that happen in life. Some of them are bad. But God says, the plan that I have for you is not to harm you. I am not the one who wants to harm you. Do you understand? And he makes it really clear, because I've come across people who are like, God is punishing me. I said, what did you do? And they said, oh, da, 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 da. I'm like, look, God is not the one punishing you. He's not. You are bearing the consequence of what you've done, but God can still help you. Ask God to help you and stop thinking God is the one punishing you. Do you get what I mean? So he makes this very clear. He now says something else. He says, plans to give you hope. Plans to give you hope. Why is that important? Because when one loses hope, then life becomes what I'll call a drag. It just becomes like a routine. Life without hope. And there's so many things that will try and shatter our hope for the future. There's so many things that will try and draw the line today or tomorrow, so that you wake up like a machine, not when I say you, not you here, and you're just going through the motions of life. Nothing, you have nothing to look forward to, because it appears that, well, there's really nothing to look forward to. I'm just going to wake up and do what I can, whenever. But no real excitement about the future. God says, no, I can give you that hope. I want to give you that hope. Do you understand? And he further goes to clarify this thing, and he says, a future. A future. So what is God saying with all this? God is telling us very specifically through the scripture that, look, I have got you. But you need to trust that I have a good plan for you. So the first thing we've looked at today is that God says to live this life, we need the Holy Spirit, and he has given us the Holy Spirit to help us. The second point is that God values us. Not because of what we've done or what we do, but because we are his children, and he values us for that. And lastly, that he has a good plan for us. To give us a future, to give us hope. And that's where we're going to stop today. And I'd like us to rise this morning. And really, I'd like us to just pray. And it's a personal prayer. And the personal prayer that we want to pray this morning, and I'll pray as well, is that God, this purpose that you're talking about, this hope that you're talking about, I might not really see it, or I might not really understand it at present, but touch my heart. Help me to see myself the way you see me, that you value me. Help me to see the world the way you have planned for me. Amen. So I'm just going to give us some time to just like really talk to God and ask that God will help us to give us the view that he really has about us.